this episode of The Commercial Break.
Well, Raphael goes over and just commandeers the couch. And he's like, sit here, bro. And I'm like, I thought we were going to do this like on the side of the house or something. Like, do you want to like warm up a little bit? Yeah, away from ears. Like, if I'm going to play for my kids, cool. They're going to be impressed with anything. But you want to play to actual adults. And so, you know, no. We got to do it in front of everybody. That's the way we got to just let's provide some music. Let's have a little sing along. And I'm like, okay, sing along. What would you like, Sunny Side Up or Black by Pearl Jam? Which party starter would you like?
I'm picturing the whole thing.
Which depressing song would you like me to whip out for you?
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Yeah, boy!
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green, this is my dear friend and co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Yes, to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. If I look tan, it's because I am. I'm a man with a plan, going to get a tan. Yeah, I got a little like, for years I had been a member at that tanning place. And for years, unbeknownst to me...
They were charging you.
Well, they were charging me. Of course they were charging me. They were charging me the most amount of money. Yeah. So they were sending me these... Every month, I got like a free guest tan. But I was being charged so much that I could literally go into any tanning bed at any time for any reason. I could go in the middle of the night. I had keys to the place. I just didn't know it, right? They were charging me like the most amount of money ever. It was like $120 a month. It was ridiculous. I can go to the gym and sleep there for $30 a month. They were charging me $125. My wife was so pissed. Jeju. I could do a week at Jeju and get a massage every day for $125. Tip included. So but unbeknownst to me also is that, you know, when you check your spam folder, sometimes you find something good in there. They were giving me a guest pass every month.
Yeah.
And that guest pass, speaking of my wife, she's calling me right now because she can hear me talking about the tanning bed. She's on the stream listening to the tanning bed. So they're giving me this guest pass, and then the guest pass could be used for a free tan. Well, it expires after 90 days. So I canceled my tanning membership when I got the gym membership. But then I realized that every month I had this free tan that I was getting that I could give to whoever. So I called them up because I haven't been to the gym in a while. It is better tanning beds at the other place. Like the tanning beds at the gym are like...
The basics.
The redder, the better.
Yeah.
Tina Tan and Tweez kind of shit.
Yeah.
Very basic. Mm-hmm. Very old. Probably used. Those light bulbs are likely unchanged in years. It's giving you the worst kind of UV without any results. You know what I'm saying? At least at the tanning bed, they have to keep up with the business because that's their business.
Right.
They have the really fancy machines that are supposedly better for your skin.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
I used to work in one when I was in high school.
Yeah. And so I called her up. There's an older lady that manages the place. Her name is Miranda. And we struck a friendship because I know that name. That name sounds familiar to me. And so we struck a friendship. And I called and I said, hey, Miranda, it's me, Brian. You know me. We have names in common. And she said, oh, yeah, how are you? And I said, good. And she said, I go, can I use the guest pass? Because I see they're going to expire after 90 days. So I think I have like 3 or 4 of them that I could potentially use.
Right.
Could I use that for myself? I know it's a guest pass.
Could you gift it to yourself?
Yeah. And she said, not technically allowed, but you're not a member anymore. So I guess you can do it. So I go in there and I had signed up for this place years ago. I mean, this is like for years, they were charging me thousands of dollars every year. So I go in there and I'm talking with Miranda and I say, okay, thanks so much. She goes, yeah, no problem. She goes, honestly, you know, if you ever want a free tan, just come in and see me. But if you ever get a tan package, you know, come see us. And I was like, yeah, that's good business. Of course. I said, what are the tan packages going for these days? And she goes, you really only use this one bed ever, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a heat bed. And I'm a man. I'm a creature of habit. There's so much unknown in this world. We like to know.
That's true.
We love the devil we know. That's the truth.
We've talked about that with restaurants, too.
Yes, with restaurants. We are comfort food kind of creatures. Mm-hmm. We like what we know. I will eat the same thing for months in a row. I have never used any other tanning room except for number two. I just haven't. I don't know why. The rest of them scare me. I don't know how they work. They could
Those
have buttons.
Those things are huge. Those things can get really huge.
Too. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And this tanning bed is like a clamshell. I have to have instructions sometimes on how to use it because there's different settings and stuff like that. So I've asked people. I'm not gonna take a chance on my beautiful skin getting redder than ever.
Yes.
So I say, hey, Miranda, let me ask you a couple cues here. That's what the kids are saying these days. Let me ask you a couple cues here. What are the tanning packages going for these days? I remember I was paying $125 a month. And she said, oh, I don't think we have that package anymore. I said, really? And she goes, no, the most we charge is $83. And that's like tan all the time, spray tans anytime, you know, all the red light therapy, the accoutrement.
Right, yeah.
And I said, so what kind of package would I get if I'm only using number two ever? And she's like, it'd be about $39 a month. And I said, $39 a month? And she said, yeah. And I go, why was I paying $125? She said, well, that was our old package.
You were grandfathered in.
I was, yeah,
at
I was
the high
at
rate.
The highest
yes.
level possible. Yes. And no one ever alerted me that it probably should be much lower. Uh-huh. So I'm taking full advantage of my four free tans. So that's why I have a little glow in my face. Also, managing the pool. The pool
Well, I was
going
to say, it's been so beautiful. We desperately need rain, but it's
yeah.
been really beautiful.
It's gorgeous
lately.
Here today. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. gorgeous here today. It's been gorgeous for the last couple of days. I have to go back to New York next week. It's freezing cold up there. I just talked to someone Ooh. Up there and they said, it's not like
Took
it was.
Took a turn.
Last week it was 85 degrees. I was sweating through my shirts. So then Astrid, the angel of my life, runs around town buying me short sleeve shirts that would be appropriate for the thing that I'm doing.
Yes.
And she buys like five of them, you know, spot on, beautiful, stylish, all that other stuff goes with anything. Cause she knows that's the thing. It's like, I'll bring four pairs of pants. I'll wear one of them. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the shirts have to go with everything. So anyway, so we, and I'm like, I'm all excited. You got fresh duds. You're feeling good. You're like, okay, I'm
going
to go up there.
Styling, confidence.
I got short sleeves. I'm mm-hmm. not going to sweat through my shirt. I'm feeling good. I can be on the rooftop hanging out, blah, 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 blah. And I talked to someone today and they're like, yes, high of 30. I'm like, high of 30?
What?
Back to the sweaters, I guess.
Yeah.
I had to change my suitcase. I'm like, ah, fuck it.
Well, by next week, it could change, though.
It's not. I looked.
Okay,
it's
all good.
It's a high of like 54. Mm-hmm. It's going to be cold and rainy and miserable. But, you know, yeah, I guess it's that time of year for them.
Yes.
It's not that time of year for us. It's beautiful weather, can be hot, and we have no rain. We have no rain forever. Let's talk about the weather, because that always makes everyone
yeah,
excited.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we do have a serious drought going.
We do. It's been like 2 weeks of no rain. I think there's some rain coming up this weekend, maybe.
Where I live, we're in a severe drought.
Yeah.
Like that, I looked on the map. It's like severe drought.
I've
get those red flag warnings every day.
Oh, every day. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
And fire warnings.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't think there's any chance of me being caught in a forest fire in the middle of Atlanta. I just don't. But I do know that there are some places in Georgia where that could be a danger. But you don't have to send me those notifications. Send me. And the Amber Alerts. How are you going to scare the shit out of me in 2 a.m? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I know.
Those are very loud.
I know it saves lives. And I know that the second that this would happen to one of my children, that I would want everyone in the world screaming on the, scream from the.
Yes.
It's a good idea. And Astrid agrees with me. When those things come through, we get freaked out. We get freaked out because
jarring.
We have children. It's jarring. Mm-hmm. And then they don't give you much information.
No, they
They'll
don't.
Be like, blue Toyota.
Yes.
And you're like, blue Toyota?
Exactly.
What information do you want me to do with that? There's 75 million blue Toyotas in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some more information. What does the person look like? Who are we looking for? Where's their favorite place to eat? Where are they last spotted? What clothing are they wearing? Like, give me some detailed information so I got a fighting chance in hell. Because if you say blue Toyota, like I'm driving down the street and I see that sign, you know, Amber Alert, blue Toyota. And it's like, really? I see seven blue Toyotas around me. What do you want me to do with that?
What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, call the cops?
Right.
No.
It's all blue Toyota.
Yeah, blue Toyota. Oh, thanks for wasting our ever-loving fucking time. We're trying to find a missing child here. But, you know, whatever. Anyway, back to the tan. I'm out there. I'm getting the pool in a pool-ready condition. I have professionals coming in. I was telling Astra last night. She's like, you know, we're always trying to save money. And she's like, well, we can afford a pool guy. And I'm like, babe, let me tell you this right now. We can afford a pool guy. because I cannot do it. I don't understand it.
Yeah,
it
you is have a, to pay for
it. It's a science experiment. Mm-hmm. And if I get it wrong, it's going to be not a $400 problem. It's going to be a $40,000 problem. If I somehow ruin that pool or get some fucking sepsis in there or some shit that I can't get rid of, and pools can go horribly wrong. If I do that, then we are screwed because then we have to fix the thing in the backyard. We can't sell the house with a big broken green pool in the back of it.
No.
If we choose to do that.
Plus and, the kids and yes, everybody's summertime's wants, gearing up. Yes,
we will save more money. That pool being in that backyard saves us $200 a week from having to go get a pool membership, entertainment, movie, mm-hmm. whatever. I say, let's go in the back. You swim. I'll ignore you while I doom scroll on Instagram. Scream real loud if there's trouble.
Right. Right. Splash yes. very hard.
Splash very hard. Splash, make a lot of noise if there's a problem.
Well, you're doing a good job. You've certainly been giving it your best effort.
Yeah, by pouring lots and lots of chemicals in there. That is my response to a pool that's looking a little weird, is just put as many chemicals as I possibly can yes. in there. But it's been working. The thing about shock is it's got a mixture of chemicals. It's mostly chlorine, mostly bleach, but it's got a lot of other chemicals in it too. So if you put enough shock in there, theoretically,
something's
going to happen. But then I tested the free chlorine in it last night, and it was like, it has a little, it's a little thing that you stick in the water.
Like
it's
a little strip. Test strip?
Yeah, it's a strip. You stick it in the water and it gives you
the color.
The color of certain chemicals. Yes. Alkalinity.
I have some of that for water.
Okay. So you know. So mm-hmm. hardness, free chlorine, whatever the other kind of chlorine is, blah, 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 blah. And so I stick it in there and it's like red is like, you know, super high chlorine. White is no chlorine. You got to add chlorine. And it was like beyond red. It literally set itself on fire. It set the test strip set on fire. It's like enough chlorine. And then I read the back of the shock box and it was like, add one bag for every 6,000 gallons in summertime, in swimming time. Add two bags for every 6,000 when you're about to close the pool, when it's like coming into okay. the winter time,
yeah, yeah.
when the pool can really kind of get nasty. I added four bags per 6,000 gallons in the last 24 hours. So I think it's good. The pool guy's going to come and he's going to be like, I can't add chemicals to this for another 6 weeks.
Right. I was going to say,
what do you want me to do with it?
Take time. You have to just give it time then to.
Yeah. The chlorine gets, it's a balancing act that's going yeah. on to my understanding from ChatGPT.
It's a balancing yeah. act.
I said, hey, chat, tell it to me like I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Give me the idea. What's the idea behind making your pool clean and you're free of radicals? And it said, it's a balancing act between, you know, essentially organic water being organic with organic material in it, and the bleach or the chlorine that is killing that, or the salt-driven chlorine that is killing that mm-hmm. organic material. You want to do a balancing act there. You want it not to be too harsh. You don't want it to be too hard, but you also don't want to give it enough
that
leeway.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And yeah. so, you know, I'm currently on the way other side of the scale.
Yes.
Neon your balance, blue.
Yes. Your seesaw is way off.
I have seesawed beyond seesawing. I am the pH is way up in the air and the chlorine yeah. is down on the ground. So that's that. I was just reading about Hulk WrestleMania over the weekend.
WrestleMania.
Sure, why not? Why don't we talk about that? WrestleMania. WrestleMania happened over the weekend. Everyone gets excited about WrestleMania. Why? I don't understand. I mean, I watched this interesting video, and I think it's true. It's that back in the 70s and early 80s, wrestling was mainly for locals, like local Southerners, Texas.
True.
They had these local like wrestling associations, mm-hmm. and they were just fun, good time fun, right? The wrestling had been happening for years, this kind of wrestling, like, you know, the, I don't want to say pretend kind of wrestling.
Right, the showmanship.
The showmanship.
Uh-huh.
It's been around for eons. It's been around since the Romans, really, and then they were wrestling. But here in America, these loose associations would put on their local shows. And what would happen is it would just be kind of become a local event.
Yeah.
And it was really geared, quite frankly, toward like older men, right? In their 40s, 50s, and 60s, just wanted to go see some entertainment. Then in the 80s as the WWE, or the WWF as it was called back then, started to coalesce, what you got was Hulk Hogan, the Giant, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, you know, these really like cartoonish characters that came in and made it fun for kids to watch.
So, and The Rock was a wrestler, right?
He was a wrestler.
Later on. Yeah, yeah.
what they call the, like, I don't know, the ultra era or something like that. I don't know. I'm not a wrestling expert, so don't quote me on this. But what I do know is I remember Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
You know, Sergeant Slaughter, those guys, like, you know, way in the 80s, 86, 87, 88, when Hulk Hogan was everything to every kid, and especially a male kid, like, Hulk Hogan was the best. He was the greatest ever that ever lived. He was like this supernatural superhero that could defeat Andre the Giant at 7.5 feet
tall.
Yeah,
and it was almost kind of soap opera-ish. It had storylines.
That's when it started to become, a continuing storyline. You know, working the camera, the work, as they call it. They would do the work that would be dramatic. You'd go from show to show. And, you know, Hulk Hogan to be there every week. All this other stuff. So now you have this really young generation, my age at the time, you know, like 5, 6, 7 years old, that were buying the toys and watching the cartoons.
It was a big deal.
Yeah. And so now you went from like older men and what had become like kind of older women, like edgier older women that were starting to get into the sport. It went straight down to kids, right?
Yeah.
And so now you've got these 6, 7, 8-year-olds that are into the sport, and it changes the sport kind of fundamentally into a more cartoonish version of what had been kind of an edgy local thing. All right. So then as those kids grew up, as we grew up, the sport grows up. Now you've got the 90s and early 2000s when there's a lot of sex and, you know.
I used to watch The Glorious Glow, The Glorious Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. But those ladies went into the WWE and they're wearing skimpy outfits. So now you've got this mainly male-driven, like, teenagers, 20s, and then early 30s that are watching it. It's getting more raunchy. It's getting more hardcore. Now you're in the full, like, McMahon era, that fucking douchebag. And so you've got kind of, and then that's when you have The Rock and all these other
guys.
What
was that movie? Didn't you say you watched the movie? The Rock just played?
He played an MMA guy.
Oh, an MMA
guy.
Okay.
But yeah, he was great in that movie. Great in that movie. I forgot what it was called.
Yeah, it got
The Fighter. I think it was called The Fighter.
Great,
yeah.
Great reviews.
Got great reviews. The Rock is fantastic in it. You should watch it. He's transforms in like a different human being. It's kind of weird, actually. He's really good in the movie. And The Rock is not like my favorite actor in the world, but I really enjoyed him in this role. Anyway, so you got these kids growing up that are now like aging out of the cartoonish version, and the WWE grows up with them. Mm-hmm. And now there's a lot of people that are complaining about the WWE because it's kind of turning into like influencer driven. Like now you have like influencers like Logan Paul and these other females. They're mainly Instagram and TikTok influencers who all of a sudden are in the wrestling ring for whatever reason. And people are all upset. They're like, fuck this. It's not good anymore. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. You know, some people were saying it's the worst WrestleMania ever for this reason or that reason. I don't know. I didn't watch it. And I haven't watched professional wrestling since I was about 8 years old.
Well, right.
Yeah.
I know.
I just never got into it. It was just never my thing. I know people who are into it, and God bless you. It's just like me watching a reality show like Seven Little Johnstons, right? It's no better or different or worse or whatever. It's just another thing altogether. Mm-hmm. But
another form of entertainment.
Yeah. But the WWE survives, this professional wrestling survives by changing. That's what it has always done, and that's what it'll do. I say all this to say that I read about WrestleMania, and then I also read about Hulk Hogan's death has now been associated, or they believe that his heart failure may be in direct correlation with the extreme amounts of fentanyl the guy was taking to manage pain.
Really?
Extreme amounts of fentanyl, like to kill a horse, enough to kill a horse on a daily basis.
Well, I mean, it was just the 10th anniversary of Prince. And, you know, that's what happens.
That's what he died. He was taking oxycodone, but same thing, same difference, right?
It's
all opiate pain medication. Mm-hmm. But man, it's these wrestlers, the football players, the hockey players, the bull riders.
They take a beating.
They take a
beating. Their body just does. Yeah.
On the backs of Tiger Woods, there is not one person in this world who doesn't know somebody who's had an issue with opiate pain medication.
True.
Because and these guys, they take a beating for a short amount of time and suffer for the rest of their lives. Same with football. They really leave it all out there on the map.
Yeah.
So fake or not, It's not like they're getting away unscathed. It's real to some degree.
No, it is. Yeah.
I was watching like highlight reel of one of the up and coming stars. And he was like, you know, on this pole, like, I don't know, three stories in the air. And this guy laying on the table, you know, oh, I just got knocked out by nothing. You know, he's laying on the table just waiting for the suplex. And the guy jumps off this pole and like suplexes the dude and the table splits in half. And I'm like, God. You just can't fake that. You like, can't fake falling 30 feet and onto somebody. And the guy who took it, what does he do? He's like, he must go immediately into the back room and talk to the doctor about what is next on the schedule of narcotics that you can give me to make this pain go away.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can't believe the beating that they take.
And I think to some degree, even though I don't think you should be addicted to pain medication or high levels of fentanyl, to some degree, we have like a big stick up our ass about pain medication now, but it's the only effective way to treat pain that we know of so far, besides snake venom. But who's volunteering for that?
Snake venom.
Yeah, they're testing snake venom.
Yeah, I think, plants and like insects and stuff have been, over the years, that's what helps for medicines.
Yeah, they've been, of course, they say that in the Amazon, there may be up to a million undiscovered chemical compounds
right.
in plants and animals
that
haven't even been discovered that could be instrumental in curing cancer, treating pain in a way that's non-addictive and all this other stuff. But, you know, we're cutting down the trees to make fucking Bitcoin. Bitcoin!
Yeah, to mine Bitcoin.
Yeah,
data centers.
Mm-hmm. Data centers.
It's a big deal.
Didn't Trump like sign a law where you could make your own nuclear power plant to fund your or to keep
did
the power? Yeah, he did.
Oh God.
Yeah, that's what we need. Sam Altman figuring out how to make a nuclear power plant next to his 360,000 acre data center with a general intelligence that can't even put a spreadsheet together.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was the XAI people that were looking to do that or something.
Yeah, they
of course,
were.
Musk.
Yeah, Musk. Well, he's always up there. I got to say, though, I'm enjoying this period of Musk.
Yeah.
This period of Musk silence.
Yes.
No Musk. Yeah. And. Quiet Musk. I like Quiet Musk.
I know.
This is the age of the Quiet Musk, and I'm all about that. It's not so musky when Musk is not around, and I can enjoy that. And I bet that the people who have invested large amounts of cash into Tesla are also appreciating that because it's just he was – that will be looked at by historians as one of the weirdest things that ever happened.
Yeah.
Musk hands Trump whatever it was, $100 million, $200 million, helps him win the election, and then becomes – the guy who just starts firing people
right.
and taking away aid.
Doge
to figure out that Doge didn't work. No, Doge didn't work.
Oh, yeah. He had such confidence and cockiness about coming in and making that all these changes that it was all going to be great.
It's all great. It's all wonderful.
What did he last, 90 days?
I think he was only allowed to work 90 days.
Yeah.
And then Trump said, well, this isn't working out for either of us, bud. What do you say you take a break and never come back?
Yeah, even after the car commercial. Remember that?
Which one?
The Tesla on the front lawn, the White House.
Oh, yeah. You know, nothing wrong with that. Who doesn't want to sell a couple of Teslas in the front of the White House? This will be looked at as the strangest period of American history. I hope.
It really will.
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't get any weirder. That's interesting. I want to talk about Tucker Carlson. I don't know if you saw this.
I did see a headline on that.
I actually took the time, even though I have no hours in the day or brain power for Tucker Carlson, I took the time to watch the interview he did, I think, with his brother. I think that was his brother he was talking to, where he apologized for leading people to Trump, to support
Trump.
Yeah,
let's talk about that because I just saw the headline. That was it.
Yeah. And listen, it was hard interview to swallow. It's hard to swallow an hour and a half of Tucker Carlson because he has some wild thinking and he is clearly off base, in my opinion, on a lot of topics. But in there, somewhere, there was some kind of making sense of what's going on with President Trump. And, you know, I guess if you can pull the flies from the shit, if you can pull the corn from the shit, then you can make some popcorn and eat it. All right, let's do it. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Going to Coachella to see Diplo.
I walked in the door to grab a latte. I paid $10, heard Ariana Grande. But then I saw him and his big dog. I felt my knees weak. Here came the brain fog. And though I'm not gay, you make me feel that way. I hope it never ends, my new Starbucks boyfriend. All my toes curl, all the feels come. My world of gold, you are my shining sun. We love to talk sports and swim in pools. You like the patio, I like the bar stools. And we spill tea and we throw shade. The other tables might think we're gay. I don't really care, I hope it never ends. You're my best Starbucks boyfriend. And though we're still straight, you make me feel a certain way. I hope it never ends, my new Starbucks boyfriend.
And no, I'm not gay. You make me feel that way. I hope it never ends, my new Starbucks boyfriend.
I got like 6 new songs. I need to load them in there so that I stop playing the same ones over and over again. You know, one of those things I'll put on my to-do list that'll never get done.
Yeah.
So Tucker Carlson, in case anybody didn't hear, this is the politics part of the show, so you can turn it off if you want to. Tucker Carlson made a lot of news yesterday, a lot of mainstream news yesterday. Tucker Carlson, of course, the former Fox News host who went on to start the Tucker Carlson Network. It's a podcast and vodcast network. I could say vodcast, you know, YouTube, wherever he's at. And he puts on a couple shows a week, I think. And, you know, he has various in and sundry characters. Most of them I would never listen to on a regular basis because I don't believe the load of shit they're towing the line on. And Tucker himself really walks a very fine line between... I mean, just some of the things that Tucker thinks and says out loud, I just clearly don't believe to be true or disagree with wholeheartedly.
Right.
Including that the whole world is now against white people for some reason. There's some big grand conspiracy. And there's a lot of other hokey shit that he believes that I'm just, you know, COVID vaccine theories and all this other stuff that I just have a hard time swallowing. But... he made news yesterday, and so I thought it worthy of my very first attention giving to Tucker Carlson in the sense that, okay, I'll go watch this particular video. Sure. Where he was talking to, I believe, his brother, who was a former speechwriter for Donald Trump. They look alike. They talk alike. They're very erudite. They're very in their own little...
Do they both wear bow ties?
New Hampshire world. No, they don't both wear bow ties, but they both wear the same style of... Yeah. You know, he's got a blue blazer on with a preppy, you know, preppy bullshit. Yeah. Zin cans sticking there. Yeah. Why are you... I don't know, Tucker. Could you just be better? Could you just be better?
Be best.
Listen to our great... First Lady, Melania Trump. Okay. So Tucker makes news because of basically one sentence, one paragraph that he said. That I'm paraphrasing now. I will live with for the rest of my life the fact that I led people to support this president and I got it wrong. And that's on my conscience. I can't, my hands are dirty. You know, I've got blood on my hands in that sense. And, you know, I wish I hadn't. I wish I had thought better of it.
Well, did he say why?
So then you have to go back and watch the whole thing to hear why, right? And they talk all about it. They talk about when Trump, you know, the Trump's first term and how kind of Trump went wrong. And then what happened during the, you know, leading up to the second term and his, they call it the wilderness years, where after he got, you know, left office the first time, how he went off. The wilderness years is what his brother kept referring to it as, the wilderness years, where he basically collected $1 billion in funding from a lot of, you know, seedy characters, and then really made that second run likely to keep himself out of jail.
Jail, right.
Right, likely to keep himself out of jail. But he had a lot of support, and he was a useful idiot would probably be the way to put it. But now it's clear that he's only a useful idiot to himself, and that it doesn't matter whose money he took or who he supported or what platform he talked about. It's now the Trump show 24 hours a day, and Trump only thinks about Trump, and it changes minute by minute, and it all, and he hates the voters, and he hates Americans in general, and he just hates everybody. He's just a miserable prick, right, who only thinks about himself. Mm-hmm. And so if you can cut the chaff from the way, or whatever that phrase is, that if you can see through all the words that Tucker and his brother were using, you can see
cut
that
the
there's
fat.
Cut the fat. Yeah, you can see some semblance of common sense in there in what they're saying, which is true. And this, they're not the only ones that are saying this now. Theo Vaughn and Joe Rogan and all these people who just like got right behind
Joe
him.
Joe was right up there with him. I mean, to sign the. What was it?
The psychedelic treaty.
Yeah. And they were apparently, you know, backslapping each other at the big UFC fight. You know.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think Joe goes wherever he thinks the ratings are, if I'm being honest, but he is a creature of media. That's what he does. Let's not pretend that Joe Rogan is like the great thinker of our time.
Right.
Leading us to, you know, the fairer land. That's not what's happening. Joe is a ratings chasing motherfucker because that is how he's made his hundreds of millions of dollars. And that ain't going to stop. And if he senses that people are souring on Trump, then he's going to move right in that direction. Just like all these other cats. The only one that I will give a little bit of leeway with on this. And by the way, the water's warm over here. Come on over. I don't care at this point. I just think we need to stop the drama.
Yeah.
But the only one that I give a little like leeway to with a little bit of credibility in my mind is Theo Vaughn. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't think Theo Vaughn 100% buys into a lot of this crazy, really crazy crap. I think he believes into some of it, or he talks about some of it. I don't think he buys into all of it. And you can almost hear Theo thinking in real time, being self-aware about how he's wrong, right? He's talking it through, and it's like he's having a conversation with himself. Like the microphone is a therapist, and he's talking it through, and he's figuring it out. And he seems to be, in my opinion, authentic about these realizations that he's having, that, you know, this doesn't make sense. Like this guy doesn't make sense. These things don't make sense.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Rogan's going to go where the ratings are going to go. And I don't know why Rogan has to be at the psychedelic treaty signing. Like, why does he have to be there? What does he have to do? Because he notoriously talks about ayahuasca and DMT and, you know, Ibogaine.
So.
And he thinks this is going to solve problems. I will tell you right now, Ibogaine and ayahuasca are not to be trifled with. This can be helpful. But I think it needs a lot of research before we just unleash this in the wild and say that everyone that's ever had a problem should get on, you know, should take an Ibogaine trip or an ayahuasca trip.
What did the treaty say?
It didn't say anything. Like, all these things don't say anything. It said, please speed things up. Okay. Please speed things up. And then Dr. Oz back there.
I know.
Dr. Oz.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There was a time
Is he the Surgeon General?
He's something. Yeah, he's Surgeon General. Surgeon General. What is this? The Surgeon General hasn't been credible since that Surgeon General came out and said, stop smoking. What was that guy? Remember that guy with the big white puffy beard?
As he was smoking a cigarette.
That's right. Did you know there was a time when doctors recommended cigarettes as an aperitif, as a digestive? Did you know that?
I can believe it.
Yeah. I want one right now.
Making you think about it now.
Yeah, making me think about a cigarette. Yeah, you know, a lot of people smoke in New York. A lot of people. It's $28 a pack, but a lot of people smoke. Yeah. $28 a pack. No joke. It's $20 a pack up there. But a lot of people smoke in New York. It's like an after dinner thing, I guess. So, you know, I see a lot of people on the street smoking cigarettes. It's like, I think it's cosmopolitan, like it is in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, they have a different kind of smoking there. Like everyone lives in a building, so it's unlikely they're just sitting around smoking cigarettes all day in their building. So they walk outside, or they have dinner, or they go to the bar and they have a smoke. But, you know, Dr. Oz has zero credibility.
No.
Because he's all buddied up with that fucking Robert F. Kennedy Jr. who's cutting raccoon penises off and taking them home.
What the fuck is going on? And more stuff just keeps coming out. I'm like, what?
I think.
To study the penis of the raccoon?
Yeah. I think this is coordinated from the inside. All these releases of information are coordinated from the inside to give distance between him and Trump. Because I don't think Trump really likes RFK Jr. I don't think he ever liked RFK Jr.
No, he just wanted his supporters.
Yeah. RFK Jr. was basically the lunatic fringe of the Kennedy family until like 6 years ago, when he 7 years ago, 8 years ago, when he started talking about autism. And it made no sense then. It doesn't make any sense now. It's been disproven time after time after time, yet there's a whole cadre of human beings who believe that vaccines have something to do with autism. It doesn't. They've studied it. It doesn't. It just doesn't. It's just a scientific fact. And, you know, okay, big pharma. Yeah, okay. We can all blame big. What were we blaming one time? Like, you know, I got a green jacket there. Is it causing me to be autistic? No. Or dumber than I otherwise? No. Blame big green jacket. Big green jacket corporations. I mean, it's just dumb. It's like, pick a target, make an enemy, go after that enemy. It's the autocratic playbook. That's what it is. The problem is, for Trump right now, as I see it, is that he's running out of enemies. He's running out of enemies. Everybody is like, wait, dude, hold on. Everyone is your enemy? Everybody who helped you?
Yes.
Every country in the world, all of our allies, we are now alone. And you wanted America first, you got it. We are as isolated as we have ever been in the world without friends. All of the other European countries are getting together tomorrow, to talk about the oil crisis that's happening everywhere in the world except for the United States of America that we caused.
Yes.
And they haven't invited us. You want to know why? Because they think we're dum-dums.
Well, right.
Yeah, they don't want us there.
No. They got to figure out what to do on their own.
Yeah. It's just like, it's literally in 2 years, the entire world flipped upside down, and it's going to take a long time before we start healing some of these relationships, that whether you like them or whether you don't like them, or whether you think Europe is taking advantage of America or not, it's worked pretty well since World War II. Mm-hmm. It's worked pretty fucking well. And so I would just share with you that, you know, we can debate the finer points of, you know, the European, the NATO alliance later on in life. But I think right now we kind of need them, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think they've been great partners with us over the years.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that was it.
No, beavers.
And back to beavers.
So we talked about beavers yesterday, and I just want to let you know that we got a positive review on our beaver segment.
Oh, good.
So I'll now be making it a part of every episode.
We'll have a beaver segment.
We'll be doing a weird beaver segment every episode.
I love it. You were also going to tell us about the party that you went to.
Oh, I went to a party. Oh, did I go to a party?
Yes, I wanted to hear about this party.
Yes, I went to a big party, a big party for my best friend's beautiful firstborn child, Cecilia, who I've known since she was born.
I'm so happy for her.
She's just cut from a different cloth. Yeah, she really is. She's a hippie without being, you know, overly dramatic about it. She is organic as they come. She's authentic as they come. She is just a lovely human being. I'll share this. Let me take a break and then we can end it. And I'll tell the whole story about the party and Cecilia and all that. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back. And by short, I mean, I'll try not to play the same song again.
Load the new ones in.
Huh? Yeah, that'll take more time than we have. If I say short break and I load more songs in, we're not coming back for 10 minutes. Yeah, I'll load them in for tomorrow.
Okay. All right,
hold on. As I play the exact same song that I just played, paying no fucking attention to what I'm doing. We're a work in progress. We're building the plane as we fly it, as they say. We'll be back after this break and a different song.
Hey, it's It's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire Commercial Break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the Commercial Break.
Speaking of Coachella from yesterday, that popped up on my news feed there. They splurged on Coachella tickets. They got scammed instead.
Oh, I have no sorries for you. I have no sorries to give you. Yep. Listen, you're already getting scammed if you buy them straight from Ticketmaster, so I don't know why you would try and buy them off market. I understand. It's a hot commodity for some people to go to. Okay. All right. Just, you know, you're paying $12,000 for – it's like the Masters this year. The Masters started to ratchet down on the ticket – on the extemporaneous ticket sales. And so apparently now they're tracking all the badges, and if you get caught selling them outside of the reputable, you know, regular kind of Masters, you know, StubHubs and stuff like that, then they can take away your tickets for life. Ooh. And when you get tickets, you get them for life. So people have to die or give up the tickets for you to get tickets. I've been in that pool for 20 years waiting for my own tickets, and I've only ever gotten them twice for practice rounds, and that was on Tuesday, and no one wants to go on Tuesday to the Masters. So I know.
I just started getting in that pool last year. My dad and I are in it, but no.
Good luck. Good luck.
I think
I'm like one. No, I think they say it's a lottery, but I'm not sure that's exactly how it works. Yeah. I think it's more like, ooh, that's a name. That's a name we want on the grounds. And that's okay. That's part of what the allure of the Masters is. You know, if I only stayed married in that miserable marriage, then I would have tickets to the Masters. Love you, Julia. Sorry, but we both know it's true. I wanted the tickets and you wanted out of the marriage, so there you go. I wanted the tickets, you wanted a normal husband.
Right.
Something had to give. If Julia's listening. Wow, if Julia's listening. If you're listening,
hey,
love
Julia.
You, kid. Hey, Julia. Yeah.
I
talk to her like once every 5 years. I'd say there's a Julia pop up for some reason or another. Paperwork.
When we first met,
needed.
You were married to Julia.
I was married to Julia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And listen,
I enjoyed Julia.
It wasn't the worst thing in the world. It was like no abuse or anything.
You guys just weren't a match.
Nah, you just weren't a match. Yeah, we weren't.
She was lovely, and you're lovely. Obviously, we became best friends. But
two different people, two different worlds, two different ideologies.
I think you guys figured it out at the right time and cut ties.
Yeah, we figured it out before the wedding, actually. But you know, the party was already planned, so why not go through with it? So did our marriage therapist. She figured it out too, but. She said, you know, I think probably canceling a wedding is better than a divorce. And we said, no, let's have the party.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's down on the beach.
Right.
Why would we stop now? We're only 4 short weeks away.
The party.
The party. Mm-hmm. So I go to Cecilia and Ryan's engagement party. I get invited to the party. It's over at Rafa's house. Rafa's house has been the host of many a party.
Yes, it's a party
I
house.
Have been to. And I haven't been there at a party at Rafa's house in a long time, actually. Probably been a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least a year, if not longer. But we went, and it was just, it was a lovely day outside. They had umbrellas and picnic tables and a little bar set up and rugs and, you know, it looked like a hippie paradise up there, right? Everyone was hanging out. Some of Cecilia's friends were there. All of, you know, here is the weird thing about Astrid and Rafa and Chelsea and Cecilia and I, is that we are actually related now. Yes. And that's weird for someone to be your best friend for many years. And then, I mean, unless they're your sibling and they're your best friend, but it's weird for you to be best friends with somebody and then all of a sudden you're related to them, even if it's just loosely through marriage.
Well, that was part of his pitch, wasn't it? When he was trying to introduce you to Astrid.
Well, he didn't introduce me to Astrid.
Right.
His stepmom introduced me to Astrid. But it was kind of part of the allure, right? Hey, listen, if something works out here, you could be actual brothers. Yeah, actual brothers. You're already at every family event. Might as well have the title, right? And so I did. So it was good to see everybody. It was a lot of fun. The kids were with us. So, you know, if I was going to drink, I wouldn't drink when I was driving the kids around. But lovely day outside. And then Rafa says to me, hey, would you play some guitar with me? It's like 40 people at this party, right? All of which I know, most of which I know, 90% of them I know. But I'm still thinking to myself, you know, we aren't 27 anymore doing this every night,
right?
High on some mystical, magical Costa Rican powder. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This, I'm not drunk. I don't think I sound good.
Yeah.
You know, all the
you
things.
You don't have that confidence.
I don't have that confidence. All the things you usually look for in a situation where you're going to commandeer the actual speaker where real music is playing. Yeah. And start to sing. And they have a microphone too.
Oh,
so I'm thinking this is like double dangerous. Because I know what's going to happen. Raphael's going to start playing guitar. Raphael comes outside with a big bongo.
Of course, I'd do the bongo.
Yeah, and he hands it to me. And he's like, okay, you play and I'll play guitar. And I'm like, okay, sure. Okay, why not? Yeah. Bump, 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 bump. One and two and three and four. And one and two and three and four. That's my rhythm.
To the side, yeah. Like a little hit, too.
I tried to, but the thing is so damn big. I'm like sitting on it. But of course, you know, I'm 68 years old, so that hurts. So I'm like, I just look like an old man bent over trying to make some rhythm. And then he's like, sing with me. And every time I try and sing, I lose the rhythm. So it's just a hot fucking mess. Right? But the thing about Raphael is he really doesn't give a shit.
No.
I kind of give a shit. He really doesn't give a shit. You know, and here we are. They put like a couch, like this huge driveway and lawn area. And they got all these tables and food and all this other stuff. And they're, you know, like a lot, 40, 50 people standing outside on this lovely day, enjoying themselves with some music playing in the background that's perfectly appropriate for the occasion. And then they have this couch set up outside, like this wicker couch with these big pillows and a little like, you know, I don't know, this little overhang hanging out where Cecilia and Ryan are supposed to sit, rug on the bottom, couple
so
extra.
That was like their seating.
That was like their seating, like the king and queen, right? You know, pay attention to them. Well, Raphael goes over and just commandeers the couch. And he's like, sit here, bro. And I'm like, I thought we were going to do this like on the side of the house or something. Like, do you want to like
away
warm up
eyes.
A little bit? Yeah, away from ears. Like, if I'm going to play for my kids, cool. They're going to be impressed with anything. But you want to play to actual adults. And so, you know, no. We got to do it in front of everybody. That's the way we got to just let's provide some music. Let's have a little sing along. And I'm like, oh, sing along. What would you like? Sunny Side Up or Black by Pearl Jam? Which party starter would you like? Yeah. Which party starter would you like?
I'm picturing the whole thing.
Which depressing song would you like me to whip out for you? So he starts playing like Beatles covers, but not the good Beatles era, like the 1957 Beatles shit, you know, I love me do. And I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible.
And Love me do.
And I'm trying to keep up on the drum and he doesn't know the chords and he's got the chord book like on his phone, but it doesn't scroll on its own. So every 5 seconds he has to stop and scroll and then we start again and stop and scroll. It's a mess. So I'm just keeping my head down. I'm not looking out into the crowd because I don't want to know what the reaction is.
Sure.
But when I pop my head up 2 songs later, to my surprise, everybody is watching and multiple people are videotaping. And I'm like, great. This is my ever-loving nightmare. People are, you know, now they're going to tag me on Instagram and my good name as a gringo married to a Venezuelan is going to be tarnished by my terrible singing of American rock songs. And so then Raphael, like, hands me the guitar, and he's like, okay, you play something. And I'm like, I start playing Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd, which is a perfect engagement song when you think about it. Everybody loves Wish You Were Here.
Yes.
Who doesn't want to hear Wish You Were Here at an engagement party? It's just like the whole thing is just from the beginning is a total fucked up idea.
I want to see this video.
And it's out there. I think Cecilia actually put it on her Instagram, put some of it on her Instagram, but luckily put a song to the video.
Oh, good. Like, okay.
Yeah, turned the volume down on that. So then, you know, okay, drums and guitar. So Raphael commandeers the guitar back, and then we're singing some songs, some Ben Harper, and I don't know, we play a song from Shrek or something. I don't know what we're playing. We're playing something.
And everything is awesome.
Yeah, everything is cool when you're part of a team. So then Cecilia comes over, and she wants to sing a song, you know, and she turns up she turned on the microphone and turns it up. And then somehow, some way, the microphone got stuck in my face. And Raphael's like, do it, do the song. I'm like, I don't know, dude. So here I am crouched down like this because the microphone cord won't go up. So I'm crouched down near Raphael's knees, like I'm giving him head. Singing a Ben Harper song, I don't know. Trying to look at his notebook and flipping it for him.
Oh, God, this is great.
Cecilia's friends are like, well.
That's dad and his friends.
Dad and his friends. Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I felt like right. I had let down Cecilia. I was going to come in hot and be the cool uncle, and then I'm just a loser who doesn't know how to play the congos with a microphone that has bad knees. Like, the whole thing is just a hot mess.
Oh, God.
The thing is, and, you know, and then everyone was getting all emotional and sappy when we were leaving. Like, Cecilia was like, you know, you guys did it. Like, you and Dad did it. You've got families. Aww. You have love. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, you've been successful and then not so successful and then maybe successful again in life. Like, you really, you know, when Raphael and I were young, we would talk about it. We're going to be the last two pirates on the boat, right?
Yeah.
We'll be sitting somewhere, drinking a beer, playing guitar, you know, thinking about the old days, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what happened
right. exactly.
during the engagement party. The thing is, when I was 25 years old with Rafa, that would have been a dream day. Just
sure.
to sit, drink beer, play guitar, even to the smallest of audiences. And I think we could have gotten away with looking a little bit cooler. Of course, we practiced a lot more back then,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
But this time, I just felt like the old fuddy-duddy, like playing the old tunes. I mean, think about it. Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here was made 20 years before Chelsea and Rafa even got together. 30 years before Chelsea and Rafa even got together.
Yeah.
This song is now 60-some-odd years old. I mean, it's like, it's an oldie. And, you know, but these are the moments that at the end of the party, as everyone's kind of getting all teary-eyed and emotional about, you know, the things that were and the things that will be, it's like, yeah, you know what? We did do it. We're still here. We're still kicking. No one died. We didn't Hulk Hogan it into oblivion. We managed to put together some kind of life,
right.
And we're still hanging out with each other, and we still love each other, and you know, Cecilia is now the next generation
that's
coming up, and she'll soon have children. And then we'll be grandpas playing guitar and being idiots with the microphone. And then
Well, your kids will still be two.
Yeah, my kids are going to be 4 and 7, 12.
When you're a grandpa to Cecilia's kids.
I know, it's no shit. It's so true. I have so long to go. Raphael's got the last bird is almost out of his nest. Yeah. He's got one more year. And I'm like, all of the years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or just getting going.
Just getting going. I am going to be like 68 years old when those kids start having other kids. I mean, you know, listen, my dad grandkids, and he's in his 70s.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know, I wish I had done it sooner, but you find the right person.
Well, that's the key.
You know, I wasn't going to have kids just for the master's tickets. You know what
no,
I'm saying?
No.
Thank God that never happened.
I know.
Yeah. But listen, it was a beautiful party.
I love that.
We've got a couple of weddings that are coming up.
Yeah.
More than a couple of weddings that are coming up. It's kind of weird. 10 years of being married to Astrid, I think we've gone to 2 weddings the entire time, one of them being our own. And now this year, we've got a number of weddings. So it just must be...
Yeah, it's funny how that goes in cycles like that.
Yeah, I think everybody sees the end of the world is coming, so they might get married fast.
Are these new weddings? Or are there like second weddings?
No, they're all new weddings.
They're new.
Yeah, yeah. All of them new. We got Ali and Gustavo. We got Chelsea and, I mean, Cecilia and Ryan. We've got, Kevin and Carrie Ann already came.
Yeah.
And there's another wedding that's in Spain later on in the summer that I hope we get to go to, but who knows, you know. So fucking expensive.
God, yeah.
We just bought our tickets to Spain to go to Gustavo's wedding, and I put it on a credit card because I didn't have the cash.
Right.
It was terribly expensive. What we actually had to do was fly into London.
Yeah, I was reading something about a bunch of airlines in Asia that are having to
cancel flights.
Yeah. Because of the gas, the jet fuel.
They can't afford it. Yeah, right. They can't afford it. People can't afford it, so they're not buying the tickets, so the planes are empty, so they're not going to fly them.
And the cost of jet fuel.
Yeah, and KLM did the same thing, and now the European Union is saying that they may have to have mandatory flight cancellations just to make sure that there's enough gas to go around. So luckily, we have our tickets. I hope we're actually flying on KLM Delta on the way there. I don't think Delta has a problem getting fuel, but this is a mess.
It is a mess.
And it's not going to get resolved quickly.
No.
It will not. Iran is in no hurry.
No, I just saw they were shooting at ships and escorting ships. They're not letting go.
Yeah. And now we look like weak-kneed, shitty, you know, shit for brains strategy kind of thing. Because you know what? We're in a position where we have to give up, and they're in a position where they don't. Mm-hmm. They have all the oil in the world. They have tolerance for pain that's super high. They've been living under a crazy regime for many, many, many years that's still there and even crazier. And you know what? They can keep the Strait of Hormuz closed for as long as they have artillery to do so. And meanwhile, we've got a double secret blockade going on, which I'm sure is making things... Yeah. I saw video of the Straits of Hormuz today, and it's 30 boats just all pointed at each other.
Yeah.
Small gunboats running around. It's a hot fucking mess. And it's not going to get any better. If it ended today, it would be 6 weeks before any of that oil would even reach the places it needed to reach. That's 2 months almost. Mm-hmm. So we've got at least 2 more months of pain coming up, and that's if everybody can get their heads out of their asses and come to a deal.
Whee! Listen,
yeah. Yes. Listen, I'll say it again. I think that escalating the nuclear situation with Iran is a necessary thing to do. But we were already doing that at one point. At least we had some fingers in the pie, and then I don't know what happened. Anyway, you know what? I want you to have a good day, so I'm going to stop talking about
it. Yes, exactly.
Just remember Brian and Rafa.
Yeah, I'm going to think about
Brian
that.
Brian giving Rafa head while he sings
and blame the
Love
Gongers.
Me Do. Love Me Do.
The microphone cord wouldn't reach.
The microphone, I couldn't even stand up. It was like I had to bend down. And then, you know, Cecilia wanted to get in, so now it's me and Cecilia and her friends all singing into the microphone that doesn't work. And Rafa spilled a beer on the board, and it was I'm
perfect.
One step away from death.
Perfect.
Yeah, it is perfect. It's perfect. All right. All right. Everyone settle down. We will be back again probably tomorrow. We'll be back again probably tomorrow right around this time. And then next week, we won't be here. So don't look for us live anyway. We'll run what we got. We'll do what we can next week. So stick with us. This is kind of for the next couple of weeks. I imagine it's going to get a little choppy-changey. Choppy changey. And then I've got some travel in May, so...
One of those weddings.
Weddings, yeah. And London. I'm going to be in London.
That's right.
Yeah.
Are you going to be speaking?
No, okay. Not this time. No, it's not worth it. To me, I don't mind speaking, and I can certainly do it, but not this time. I'm not going to speak this time. I'm okay just going there, meeting some people, networking, going to the events after the conference is over. That's really where all the action happens anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Probably have a few lunches.
Yeah, you won't have to worry about that if you're while you're talking and having the party machine out.
Yeah, I don't want the party machine out. But this particular conference was not that conference. That conference, I don't know if I'll ever attend that conference again. That was a hot mess. Always has been, always will be. But again, you don't go for the speakers. You go, they're not saying anything new that doesn't show up in the trade rags anyway.
Yeah.
So these are really just events. you can go to the booths and see who's doing what. But then you go out at night and you go and it's a lunch and you have some coffee with somebody. That's kind of how it is. It's a reason that everybody's in the same city, in the same business, talking about this or not. So that's what I'll go do. Plus, London is lovely.
There you go.
Maybe I'll go see the king.
Should.
Yeah. Him and I are good friends. Check us out at tcbpodcast.com. All the audio, all the video right there. You can also go to Instagram at The Commercial Break. You can find Chrissy at TCB Chrissy. You can find me at Brian W. Green. And you can go to youtube.com/TheCommercialBreak for all the episodes on video, or all the ones we have anyway, on video. And hit that follow button, that subscribe button, that notification button, so that you can be notified about when we go live. We love you. Thanks, everybody in the stream. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
And yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast and streaming audience. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.